other people around him. Then we see somebody wanting to go to speak foolishness, and everyone can see it. In the same manner, the conditions of so many foolish things which can be very tendency to be foolish by a self-related soul, as the Srila Prabhupada states it. Or we want to recognize that I am haunted by the ghost of material conditioning. One feels uneasy to speak up, and one understands the importance of controlling the vasavya. After having learned that I should not exercise my tongue unnecessarily, like it is said, speak quickly or keep silent, it is said, by Gita Vyasa. Or it is said, silence is golden. Why? It is better for one to be silent than to speak nonsense. At the same time, the best proposition for the tongue is to always glory the Supreme Lord. And the glorification of the Supreme Lord cannot be done unless one's heart is turned by hearing the glories of the Lord in the scriptures and from devotees repeatedly and contemplating on the scriptures of revelation. That it turns the heart and then it streams through the tongue of devotees. Otherwise, even after becoming a devotee, for several years, suddenly after devotee, say something about Krishna. Why? One would rather prefer keep mum or speak some malediction like after 25 years in the medieval world. It is very, very common. That is why those cities of Western Pakistan, from Delhi, Kabul, Kamal, Kamani, Nashik, Bhattan, Karna, Kutay, Malaysia, Vishwasi, Dal, Vijay, Kutay, Chaukai, Kugai, Vata, those were cities of Western States. That the tongue of one who has not glorified the Lord is like the tongue of a frog, the ear holes which are not visible to the frog, like the holes of a snake, or the eyes which do not see the beauty of the frog, like the plumes of a peacock and all that. So many things are like that. So, once you regularly hear the words of God, contemplate on them, meditate on them, and see that message in relation to one's own personal life, very, very important. When we do that, then the business of liberation will always come from the heart. And that is the same as the chanting of the holy name. Because chanting is the greatest of all the prayers, amongst all the prayers. Although there are many prayers which are spread out by the devotees of the Lord in the scripture, the chanting of Hare Krishna is actually the greatest prayer reaching the Kshetra of Krishna. So, this is a very famous example of what Prabhupada is saying here about haunted by a ghost. Prabhupada asks it. One speaks active, haunted by a ghost. Material world, one speaks all kinds of foolish things without having any connection to the Supreme Lord. So, once a husband and wife are arguing that, you know, why do we have time? There is so much to do. There is no ability, no time to time. So when Ganesha was telling, but you are saying that you have no time for chanting, but you have enough time for fighting. And they looked at each other and said, how did you know? If you say you don't have time for chanting, the time will become different to it. Using the mouth for speaking so many things which are not useful at all. They are not going to be the best thing is, he said, anyway, if you are moving your mouth for half hour to one hour a day in fighting with each other, use that mouth for chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It will be some benefit. So, we only have a choice. Either to be ghost hunted or Krishna hunted. Try to cover it. And not go to it.
We are not impressed. Yes, we can feel good about we being the Atma, which is Satchidananda, which is a part and parcel of the Lord. And we have the same divine qualities like the Lord in minute proportion. So without telling them the fundamental truth, you are the soul, you tell them, be nothing good about yourself. So the fallacy of teachings in the modern times can be very clearly shown. So what is the nature of a devotee? The devotee has full confidence in the Lord, not in himself. A devotee doesn't go into the mode of thinking, I am the doer, I will do great things. Nor does the devotee think, no, I am 101% confident that I cannot do it. A devotee will never say that. Why? Because devotee knows that I may not be able to do it, but Lord can use me and do some things beyond me, that are beyond me to do. So that we find in the case of Vasudev. When Vasudev was in the jail, as soon as Krishna appeared in the jail, so Krishna is asking his father, please kindly take me to Gokul. Now, immediately what must have come in the mind of Vasudev? He must have thought, you know, what kind of Kshatriya am I? Kshatriya means one who gives protection. But I am such a Kshatriya, I could not protect the lives of the previous 7 children. They were all killed one by one after another, all the children. And not only that, I am such a Kshatriya, my hands are bound, handcuffed, my legs are bound by chains, and I put inside a jail. And I have no courage to break open the jail and come out and kill Kamsa and take the whole leader. I don't have the courage. So in one sense, my so-called Kshatriya capabilities are all finished, because I am put in the jail and I have given all the children to the hands of Kamsa to be killed. Which Kshatriya will do that? And the question might have arisen in his mind, how did Krishna develop faith in me that I can protect a child like him? Isn't it? Not only that, he is giving me a task by which I have to carry him from here to Gokul for a place, and against the wishes of the ill-minded Kamsa, isn't it? So naturally this person might have come in his mind, because I don't have the capability to do what Krishna is asking me to do, what Shri Krishna is asking me to do. So how did Vasudev act? He didn't ask a question to Krishna at all. As soon as Krishna said, immediately he picked up the child in the hand. And as soon as he picked up the child, it is said, all the chains in his hand, they all torn asunder, and all the doors of the jail open, and all the jail keepers, they were all put to sleep. They all started snoring and sleeping. And Vasudev didn't know how these things happened. He only saw them happening. And then he started moving out of the jail. And it was raining also, drizzling. So the Anantashesh came and gave like umbrella protection to Vasudev, and Krishna on the top of Vasudev said, giving protection like that. What he shows, when one develops a firm faith in the will of the Lord, then Lord does everything for the devotee. You see? He just followed the order of Krishna. Okay, Krishna, you are telling me to take? I will not present my disqualification to you. Because you are ordering me to do it. So I will do it. Nor will I ever think that, yes, I will use my might to do it. So that is the specialty of a Lord devotee. And then you find how Lord used Vasudev as an instrument to be transferred to Gokul. So there is a very vivid description given about how when the Lord appeared in the jail, Devaki and Krishna, their dealing is very sweet. Devaki is telling Krishna, my dear Lord, you have appeared in the 400 forms. With Shankar Chakra, Gada, Padma and all these things, wearing a helmet and wearing, all the weapons in your hands. You appeared in this big form. People will ridicule me. What kind of child you have gotten? Please kindly become a child, she's saying. And for his part, the Lord wanted to show such a form like Vishnu form. Why? Because Lord wanted to make sure to Devaki and Vasudev that you invited me to be born. And if I come as a small child, you may probably doubt whether I am supreme or not. So let me prove to you that I am supreme. So the Lord showed himself as 400 form. And in this way, there is a very intimate dealing between Lord and the devotee. There is a very intimate dealing in which the devotee forgets his material identity completely. And the devotee is ready to do whatever the Lord says, even up to the point of, losing his own life also as need be. Like for example, Devaki clearly knew when she told Krishna that, my dear Lord, please kindly become a small child so that I can hide you somewhere. And then as Krishna ordered, take me to Gokul, she was also happy that he is going to be transferred to Gokul, child will be safe. And she knew very well, Kamsa will come now and he will harass. Whom will he harass? He will harass Devaki and Vasudev. Where did you keep the child? I came to know that the eighth child is born now. And that is going to be the cause of my death. And he is going to torture them like anything. And they were ready for the torture. Why? They both discussed. That when comes out torturous, you will simply meditate on the Supreme Lord who is very safe elsewhere. By meditating on him, you will have nothing to worry. So which goes to show that a devotee is ready to accept any amount of difficulty for the pleasure of the Lord. So they both were ready for that. Let Krishna be safe and happy, and we will undergo all the harassment of samsara. No problem. They were prepared for that. Which means the devotee is not fearful of the inevitabilities that will happen in life. There are many inevitabilities come in our life. Often there is a tendency in our conscience stage to safeguard ourselves from the inevitabilities. So we don't want to get sick, we don't want to get old, we don't want to get diseases, we don't want to die, and we want the temperature should be exactly between 15 degrees Celsius to 25 degrees Celsius. If it is not available, we'll put air condition. And the water temperature in the morning while bathing should be this much. The room temperature should be this much. Prasadam should be of this quality. The dress I wear should be like this. And when I go from morning to night, all day the activity should go so smoothly. It should be like a bed of roses for me. There should be no difficulty at any time. And when all the conditions are fulfilled, then I will agree to chant Hare Krishna. So this is conditional bhakti. Or, in other words, it's not that we won't chant Hare Krishna, we will chant Hare Krishna, but we will take charge of our lives in our hands. Which means, while chanting Hare Krishna, we will be terribly in anxiety, worrying about why the temperature is so bad today. Why water was, so hot in the morning today. Why this drinking water is so hot. I wish it's like fridge cold, Or why things are not smooth sailing in my life. So all those anxieties will come in the chanting time in our mind and occupy our mind while we'll be doing only lip service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, right there. Which means we take charge of our own life in our hands. And we tell Krishna, Krishna, move aside. Now you couldn't do what I wanted, so you move aside. But I will take charge of my life. So that is a lack of surrender. That's a lack of surrender. Whereas a devotee, an ideal devotee's explanation is given here. An ideal devotee is one who is prepared to face the inevitabilities, and without taking the anxiety of those inevitabilities, a devotee is ready to think of Krishna constantly. Just like Devaki is saying, let Kamsa come and harass me, but that harassment wouldn't be as pinching to me as when Kamsa captures Krishna and kills him. Actually, Krishna can never be killed by anyone. But out of motherly affection, out of that loving affection, Devaki thought that there was a possibility. Actually, there was no possibility. No demon in the past had been able to kill Krishna. The past so many times. So, that kind of fixity on the Lord's will is not only found in the life of Vasudeva, but found in the life of any pure devotee. That's a very beautiful verse. This is coming in that same series of verses. Martyo mrityu vyala bhita palayan lokan sarvan nirbhayam nadya gacchat svatpadabjam prapti yadrichayadya sustashyete mrityu rasmatapaiti. Very simple meaning. It says, Martyo means the fallible living entities, which are all destined to die in this world. Martyaha. Mrityu means death. Vyala means serpent. Bhitaha. All the living entities in this world who are destined to die, they all are fearful of the serpent of death, which is chasing after them. Palayan means they run very fastly. Just like, for example, imagine, suddenly someone tells you that there is a snake in this room. Immediately you stand up and run. Isn't it? As soon as one sees death. In the same manner, as soon as one thinks of the death, serpent of death, everyone tries to escape from the serpent of death in this world, he says. Lokan sarvan. Everyone in this world is afflicted by bhayam, which means fear of death. And then he says, Vat padabjam praptya But those who have attained your lotus feet, my dear Lord, Edricheya, by some causeless mercy, some or other they attained your lotus feet. Sustaha Shete. They become very firmly fixed up in a platform of undisturbed mind and a composed mind. That's the meaning of Sustha. Sustha means very nicely situated. Those pure devotees are very firmly situated with good peace of mind. Shete means they can sleep very peacefully, he's saying. They won't have insomnia problem. He's saying. Sustha Shete, Mrityur Asmat Apayati. And death flees away from them in fear. See, this is the opposite. All the conditioned souls of this world are extremely fearful of death, and when the death is chasing them, they run away from the snake of death. Isn't it? And they are constantly tormented by fear. And they cannot sleep peacefully. And their mind is constantly worrying about, you know, how I can escape myself from disease, death and all that. Whereas those Satpadabjam Prapya, those who attained your lotus feet, what happens to them? Sustaha. They are very firmly situated in the platform of no mental disturbance. And Shete, they sleep very peacefully. So if somebody wants to know any medicine for insomnia, you can tell them this verse. Isn't it? How to sleep peacefully. You see, if you ask the doctors, they will tell you, they have this eyeball movement, isn't it? IRM, you call it? RM. Yeah, it's called as rotating eyeball movement, isn't it? Those people who sleep with anxiety, for them the eyes rotate very fastly in the night. All night they keep rotating, they cannot sleep, isn't it? Yeah. It's just constantly worries come one after another. Mind goes into hyperactive mode. And hours and hours, night and morning also, they cannot continuously sleep for a prolonged period of time. So here he says, the few devotees get very peaceful sleep because the handover responsibility is to Krishna. But this reminded me of how I happened to see a child in a Bombay train, you know. The child was sleeping on the shoulder of the mother, you know, and snoring and peacefully sleeping. I wish we get such a nice sleep, you know. And the mother is, you know, getting into the train, getting out of the train, climbing up the staircase, you know, buying the ticket, you know, boarding auto, you know, going home and everything. The child doesn't even know where the mother is going. And child doesn't have to worry at all. Child doesn't have to think, you know, how much change I need for paying to taxi, you know, paying to train, nothing. You know. He can just peacefully sleep. Like that a pure devotee takes rest on the lotus feet of the Lord. You know. Peaceful shelter. Why? Because pure devotee has a firm faith in Lord's plan. In the case of Parikshit, what happened? Parikshit knew that Lord entered into the womb of my mother, and he took his gada and circumambulated round and round, and he saved Parikshit from. In fact, I heard that the womb of Parikshit was destroyed, but it was recreated by the Lord. The Brahmastra sent by Ashwatthama, it destroyed the womb and was recreated by the Lord. So that way, Parikshit was saved. Parikshit's life was saved. And now, Parikshit knew, I was almost about to face death at the time of my birth. The Lord could save me. If I have to die at the time of my death, you know, it is up to the Lord, whatever He wants to do. If He decides that I should be saved, I will be saved. If He decides I have to die, I will die. So why should I worry? So, this was the, there is another famous verse. Dhammopayatam pratiyantu vipra Ganga cha devi dhita chitta meeshe Vijopatrishtas kuhakastakshakova Dashatvalam gayata vishnugata. And that verse also Parikshit says the same thing. He says, Samopyatam pratyantu vitra. Oh my dear Brahmanas, I am so fortunate that at the time of my death I have come to the banks of the Ganges, and I am sitting just by the side of Ganges, and I am also sitting in front of all of you Brahmanas, and all of you are speaking the Vishnugata. What a great fortune for me. In the company of Vaishnavas, in the company of those who are speaking about the Lord, in the side of bank of Ganges, such a wonderful combination. And he said, I have no fear of death, he said. Now because I am hearing the pure katha, go on, speaking Krishna katha, and that will pierce my heart. In this way I have no fear of death, he said. Dashatvalam, may the snake bird come and bite me, he said. I have no fear. So, this is the greatest success in one's life, to become fearless in the face of death by firm shelter in the Lord's lotus feet. That is the ultimate success. Although many people in the modern times say, we are ready to commit suicide, you know, we have no fear of death. There are people who commit suicide. But their understanding of death is that if I die, everything will be finished. So it is dying in mortal ignorance. Because they don't know, for committing suicide, they will have to be reborn as a ghost. And they will have to terribly suffer in the ghostly body for a long time, after which they will be given a body again, after that. But the death of Parikshit was not like that. Death of Parikshit was faced with great wisdom. Parikshit actually, he is seeing that I am hearing the Lord's Katha and I am becoming purified. And in this way, beholding the Lord, beholding the Lord in my mind, I will attain the feet of the Lord eternally to serve Him in that consciousness. So, when we hear the lives of great devotees like that, in our life also, we are taught these things. Why? Because there is some common denominator for everyone in life, which is death. Everyone is claiming equal rights in the world. We can tell them, everyone has equal rights in death. Whether you are a rich man or a poor man or a woman or young or old, everyone has equal right in facing death. So, when we face death, how do we face it? You know, it's all in Indrajana Swami Maharaj. Recently, some months ago, he had written an article called Second Chance. It's a very famous article. He writes the Traveler's Diary. It's a very interesting article. What he had written, he was thinking, the gurus in ISKCON who are all crossing 50 years. So once he was discussing with Jayadeva Swami Maharaj, he said, those who have crossed 50 years, we cannot predict how the body will function, what will happen at what time and all. And Jayadeva Swami laughed and said, yeah, he said, those who are alive, they watch the others passing one by one. And then he said, then our turn will come. And those who are left behind, they will watch us passing out, he said, out of this world. That's the way the world is. There is somebody joking. So he said, old order changes, kingdom fits the new. So the world will come to pass automatically, and we should be ready to face it. And there should be no anxiety to face death, he was telling. So this way he was talking. One day, his disciples, some of the disciples of Indrajana Swami Maharaj were asking, that Maharaj, we always were very curious to hear about the stories behind the Shaligram Shilas that you are worshipping. Can you tell us? One Mataji disciple was asking. And he said, yeah, I'll tell you when time comes, Now I am little busy, Maharaj said. And she said, no, Maharaj, you always say like this and you are getting old, she said. And eventually Maharaj said, what does it mean? She's saying I'm getting old. That means she's saying that, what follows old age, everyone knows. So he said, in this way, he said, I was getting many reminders in my life and I thought I should become more serious in my Krishna consciousness. So one day suddenly, when he was feeling some severe pain in the back skin of his body, he went to a doctor. So doctor saw that it was some irregular mole on the back side of his body. And he touched it and asked, is it the place you are feeling pain? And he said, exactly. And he said, oh, this is likely to be melanoma, he said. Looks like one. Immediately, Maharaj asked him, did I hear you saying melanoma? Did I hear you saying this? Is it right? He said, yes, that's what I said. Immediately he got a shock of his life. Why? He said, because, what is melanoma? Melanoma is the same kind of, the particular kind of disease which causes the tissue to become like that, which a Bhikkhu Swami got. Bhikkhu Swami got and very soon he had to leave the body and all that. And besides that, it's a very difficult to, it's almost an impossible to cure a mole, even the operation and anything. It keeps spreading very fast and all that. So then the doctor said, I'm not very sure. It may be benign also, he said. Benign is a harmless one. Melanoma is a harmful one. Benign is a little safe one. So doctor said, I'm not very sure. We will check it. Don't worry, he said. So then the doctor took a small sample of that mold to test and kept it there. And he said, Maharaj, today is Friday. So I can tell you by Monday, we'll tell you. Then Maharaj says he went to the temple back And lot of devotees are waiting at the door with garlands and singing kirtan and everything. He said, I didn't even feel like looking at them. I just went straight into the guest house. I didn't even know who was standing. I saw a lot of crowd standing. Because my whole mind was fixed on the thought of the inevitability that might happen. And then he went to the room and he was lying in the bed and he says, was thinking. So many thoughts were flying in his mind. Alas Krishna, now you are appearing in the form of death. That one has to, everyone has to leave this world one day. This is also your grace, that you come as death in this world so that you can speed up the devotees, death so that you can become Krishna conscious very fastly. So while you were thinking later, somebody came and battered the door and asked, Maharaj, Prasadam is ready. Would you like to have the feast? He said, I don't feel like eating. No need, take it back. So he said that the desire was, there was no appetite also for eating. And he said, then again I lied in the bed. Night was 11, 12, 1. I just couldn't sleep. So many thoughts came in the mind. And he says, I thought to myself, how I have wasted all my life wandering from one place to another, here and there. I never intensified my chanting of the holy name. I wish I had gone to Vrindavan like some of my god brothers and spent my entire Kartik chanting 64 rounds of Hare Krishna every day and intensified my consciousness so that I will be sufficiently prepared to attain Krishna's loka at the time of death. Now I think how time has gone so fast, and now there is very little time. So if only it is diagnosed as melanoma, then I will not have so much time to prepare myself, he thought. And then he also thought, what else action I could take? I have so many disciples and so many responsibilities, so many people in queue take me as the spiritual master. And he said, no, I will not take up any more responsibility. Immediately he got up at 12 o'clock at night, sat with his laptop and started typing out a letter to the GBC. My dear GBCs, please kindly relieve me from all my services all over the world, and all my yatras, please give it to different people, and I would like to go to Vrindavan and take Babaji Diksha as soon as possible so that I can devote all my time in reading and chanting and intensifying my consciousness so that I will be completely absorbed in Krishna. No other thought. I just don't want to think of anything in the material world. It's a useless place because material world is a place of forgetfulness of Krishna. So please kindly don't pull me into different responsibilities. I just want to be one-pointed in my focus. So he wrote that letter. But he finishes almost 50-70% he finished the letter. Then he thought, later on I'll complete it tomorrow. Then he lied down again. So it was Saturday, and the boy Sunil had taken a sample of that. Next morning, Maharaj got up and again the thought of this came in the mind. So again called up Sunil at 11 o'clock. He asked, Sunil, is it possible that instead of waiting till Monday, we can get the result today only? And he said, no, Maharaj, actually Saturday, Sunday, it's difficult to know. Many laboratories are closed. Occasionally, we may find one or two laboratories open. He said, please give a try. And then Sunil said, okay, I'll give a try. And then Sunil went and afternoon, almost 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock or so in the afternoon, a call came from Sunil. So, Maharaj, your test result has come, he said. We could do it in one of the laboratories. And there was pin drop silence on the other side. Maharaj, he was calling. And he didn't say anything. He wanted to say, tell me. And then he said, Maharaj, it's benign, he said. There's absolutely no problem for you. You will live a very long life. And Maharaj said, anyway, this was a great lesson for me, he said. So Krishna gave me an opportunity to know what is life and how this can come at any point of time. Now I am given more opportunity. Now what will I do now? He went back to Rome. Then he again wrote some points. He said, now if I had such a short time, I was ready to do so many things. Now he thought, now let me not waste one moment, let me plan out. So he planned out many things in his life, what I will do now. But he says that after this turn of events took place, he had become multiple times serious about his Krishna consciousness. He says that Now that gave me an opportunity to understand that death may come at any time and I should not waste one moment in my life. So sometimes we find that although we are given the human form of life, although we are given so many abundant opportunities in order to become a devotee, there are devotees around us, the scriptures around us, God is coming in the deity form, coming as a holy name, coming as a holy reverse, and you are born in the Punya Bhumi of Bharat, in the holy land of Bharat. Although we are born in this most strange, abominable age of Kali Yuga, still we are in the Sangha of Krishna Bhaktas. And we have got a wonderful shelter of spiritual master. It is said if a human being does not attain the shelter of an acharya and does not take the training under him, then such a person cannot be counted as a human being. It is said in Krishna book in one place of us. So we attain the shelter of a spiritual master also. Coming in disciplic succession. What more do we want? Everything is there. The only thing that is lacking is sufficient seriousness to accept this mercy that has come in our life. That is lacking, unfortunately. Like for example, when we are given an opportunity to practice and preach Krishna consciousness, if we remain dumb, and if we remain dull, and if we remain slow, and if we remain very careless and neglectful, then time will come and these things will be taken away by the inevitable death which will come. And we don't know after we die what will be our next situation. In one, Indian Swami says that when he was writing those points, he was thinking about, when he was writing to the GBC about Babaji Diksha, he was thinking, so Krishna, if I am going to pass now, in which body are you going to put me now next? Are you going to send me to the house of a devotee? Then he wrote that line, Keta Janma Ho, Yatasu Adas, Bahirmukha Janma, Bahirmukha Brahma Janma, Nahimora Ash. So please kindly make sure that you give me the birth in the family of a devotee. So we don't know whether we will be born again in the family of a devotee, whether we will have the wonderful chance which we have got now here. So facing death means this. Always remembering that any time the opportunities that are around me right now will be taken away. As long as they are with me, I should take full advantage. Like today, because of the modern culture, modern day advancement in science, now people have jukeboxes. Like somebody gave me a jukebox. So at one time I was having 20, 30 lectures. And then I started collecting lectures from different Maharajas. Different senior devotees. At one time I had practically 1,000 lectures. Nowadays you can put in gigabytes, terabytes. You have terabyte also now. You can put. Then I found at one time there are 2,000 lectures with me, but I am hardly able to hear even one of them because life is so busy. Then I said, you take back the jukebox, I will take a small flash player, I will put 10 lectures and finish them off. At least something will be moving. Otherwise in the modern times we have so much facility, but we are not taking advantage. Like now, somebody thinks, so-and-so Maharaj is giving lecture. Are you going to come and attend or not? They say, no, jukebox is there, we can record, we can hear later. So, ultimately you find neither was it recorded nor was it heard. You find like that. So, this is a great curse in this age. Because we have too much of lavish facilities, opportunities to become. Imagine when Srinivas Acharya went to Gadadhar Pandit and to associate with Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit showed the Bhagavatam. It was all completely smudged with ink because Gadadhar Pandit had cried tears of ecstasy when he was reading Bhagavatam. And it was all completely smudged. So he said, please kindly go back to Bengal and get one Bhagavatam written by a Brahmana and come back. So Srinivas Acharya went back to Bengal. So you have to place an order for Bhagavatam and the Brahmana will take about 4-5 months to write. And he wrote and gave. And by the time he collected it and came back, by the time Gadadhar Pandit had gone away. He had gone back home, back to Godhead. And Srinivasacharya was crying. You can see that. Now, if you want Bhagavatam, just go to the stall and pay 5,000 rupees to get a Bhagavatam set immediately, in one moment. So, sometimes, when we get things very easily, we take it for granted. I have so many books with me. At one time, I had about 400 or 500 books with me. many books, and I gave it all actually. Why? Because when we store the books, we always think we can read later. Like if somebody gives you a book, Babuji, you can take this book, but I want it in 1 week. Then somehow day and night you will complete the book. That salted bread book came, you know. And people knew that, you know, it's costly book, we cannot buy it. So they, day and night they completed it. Otherwise somebody said, no Babuji, I would like to give you as a gift, take it. Then what we do? Oh, gift. Goes to the cupboard. You keep it inside. You don't take it. So, we take the facilities for granted very lightly. So, Parikshit Maharaj, when he was given a curse to die for no good reason, he was not faulty at all. See, we are not faulty and somebody gives us a curse, how bad we feel. But Parikshit could see that it is not happening without the knowledge of the Lord. It's happening in the sight of Krishna only. And Krishna has also given sanction for such a curse to happen. So he accepted it very graciously. And what did he say? What was his consciousness? Parikshit said, maybe I am too attached to my post as a king of the world and to my family and the wealth and the riches and everything. And the Lord wants to accelerate my devotional service and take me back to Him. And He wants to detach me from all the things of the world. So He said, this very moment I will cast away everything. Pashu, Dravana, Atma Jaya, Sutagara, Pashu, Dravana, Pandushu, everything. He cast it off in one moment. And then He went to the banks of the Ganges. And then He took shelter of these saintly people and heard Srimad Bhagavatam with complete absorption and attention. So Bhaktisiddhanta Swami also followed in this footsteps. When he came to know that he had to leave this world and everything, and was sure, things were clear, of when is he likely to leave the body. He was counting the weeks. Then he told all his disciples that, I want to completely go into full solitude, seclusion and absorption. And with his God brothers, he was hearing Krishna Katha constantly. If you hear his lectures in the last few days, how he is in transcendental ecstasy, crying tears and singing Radha and Shyam's name, and giving lectures in such deep consciousness. Very amazing. So very successful death, successful way of leaving this world. Even Sridhar Maharaj also, when he came to leave the body, he came to Mayapur, and very happily he left his body, very happily. He said, as soon as he landed in Mayapur, he said, now I have nothing to worry in this world. He said, now I am in Dham now. Now, Gauranga is there, the Dham. And I am leaving my body in the same place where Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu is born. So he said, most safest zone to leave. So, it's very important that when we have vigor and vitality and energy in our body, we don't become addicted to sense pleasures. We don't become swayed by the current of Maya. But we utilize it all in Krishna service and remain focused and remain in remembrance of Krishna and remembrance of death also. Then we can also attain this stage, as I said here, Pat Padabjam Prapya Adrityat Vijitriyadya Sustha Shete Mrityurasmata Paiti. So we will become very firmly fixed in Lord's lotus feet and we can sleep peacefully. We can not just avoid the fear of death. Death will flee away from us, he says. What is the meaning of that? How can death can go away from a devotee? Which means a devotee can live in hell or in heaven or in spiritual world and devotee doesn't care where they have to live. It's like that famous verse what Lord Shiva told to Parvati. Narayana para sarve nakutashchana vibhyati sarga apavarga narake shvapitulya artha darshanaha. So he said, oh my dear beautiful wife, he said, Prabhupada is saying Parvati was beautiful, but Chitraketu was more beautiful than Parvati also. Prabhupada says. Actually, Shiva purposefully tells us, beautiful wife, why? You may be very beautiful, you know, covering your head with a scarf and everything. But he told her, but Vaishnavas are more beautiful than you also. He said, how? Because of the qualities. What is the quality? Narayana parasarve na kutachana bibhiti. They don't fear at any time. In any situation. Like you see Ambarish Maharaj, in front of him there was a huge demon created by Durvasa. But Ambarish did not budge 1 inch from that place. So they are fearless. Similarly, Chitraketu was also fearless. Here we find Parikshit fearless. Prahlad was fearless when his father subjected him to so many dangers. So this is a sign of a devotee, that a devotee should learn to face diseases or old age or death or inevitable circumstances or unwanted situations and circumstances or insults or whatever we may not want to happen to us in our lives. When they come, face them gracefully with a heart full of prayer, taking shelter of the Lord's feet. We can pray that, my dear Lord, please give me the strength to face this. That's one prayer we can offer. Another prayer we can offer is, my dear Lord, it is your mercy that it seems you want to purify me, or you want to accelerate my devotion service, that you are subjecting me to these difficulties. So in this way, we should see the example of the great Vaishnavas, great devotees, and learn this fearlessness. Because if one fears, that means one is in bodily consciousness. One will have to take another body again. One more material body again. When one is fearless in facing these inevitabilities, then the Lord is waiting there to receive such a devotee and take him back to his abode. Vintra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Kaur Bhaktavinda ki. Thank you very much.